Our sermon today is based on a reading from 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 11 through 17. All right, there we go. Saul sent messengers to David's house to keep watch over him, planning to kill him in the morning. David's wife, Michal, told him, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." So Michal let David down through the window. He fled away and escaped. Michal took an idol and laid it on the bed. She put a net of goat's hair on its head and covered it with the clothes. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Then Saul sent messengers to see David for themselves. He said, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may kill him." When the messengers came in, the idol was in the bed with the covering of goat's hair on its head. Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me like this and let my enemy go so that he has escaped?" Michal answered Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" Thank you, God, that we have a chance to dance with your word today. We've been looking at Daring Daughters this month in honor of Women's History Month. There are 5 Sundays in March, but since Palm Sunday and Easter are slotted for the last 2 Sundays of the month, alas, we are only able to learn about 3 otherwise overlooked Bible women instead of 5. So this is not so much a save the best for last thing, but Michal's story is sad enough that we have to give her a little more time and a lot more space. I'm not sure if I should have depicted her dancing on the bulletin cover. After all, it was dancing that got her in trouble. Not her dancing, but her husband David's dancing. Let's look at Michal's story. This daughter of King Saul was just like all the other women in the kingdom of Israel. She was head over heels in love with the dashing, daring David. What woman wouldn't have a soft spot for a tall, handsome guy who sings and writes poetry and takes care of sheep? David was actually at first promised to Michal's older sister, Merab, but David didn't think he was good enough to be the king's son-in-law, so Saul gave Merab, gave her, daughters were property in those days. He gave her to another man named Adriel. When Saul heard Michal was in love with David, he had a strange thought. "Let me give her to him so she may be a snare for him and so the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Saul did not like David. He didn't like that he was more popular than the king himself, with the people singing, "Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul was afraid David would take the kingdom away from him. He also didn't like that his children, including his son Jonathan, were all so supportive and enamored of David. Saul's jealousy drove him to try to kill David numerous times. In the incident described in today's scripture reading, Saul sent some of his men to scope out David's house and wait for a chance to kill him. Great plan. But wait, Michal to the rescue. Saul's daring daughter warned her husband of the king's plot and helped him escape. What she wouldn't do for David. She lied for him. She stood up to her father for him. Well, who was she supposed to pledge loyalty to, her father or her husband? Who was she more obligated to, David or Saul? Was she going to be a faithful daughter or a faithful wife? Michal made her choice. David escaped. He was on the run from Saul for a pretty long time. Why didn't Michal flee with him? Would her life have been different if she had? While she was being faithful, he was being unfaithful. He met and married Abigail. He met and married Ahinoam. He met and married Maacah. He met and married Haggith. He met and married Abital. He met and married Eglah. He had children with all these other women, but he had not left Michal with a child to fill the void in her life. As it seemed apparent, David was not going to return to Michal. Saul gave her to a man named Palti. Did Michal want to marry Palti as she wanted to marry David? Well, we know she probably didn't have a say in the matter. Saul was glad she wasn't married to his enemy anymore. So after Saul died, David was made king. And as king, he decided he should have Michal back. He killed 100 Philistines to get her. He figured he deserved her. So she was brought back to him with her husband Palti, following behind her, weeping and wailing until he was unceremoniously sent back home. How did Michal feel being used like a voiceless pawn in the battle between David and Saul and Saul's descendants, she might have been content to be with Palti. After all David had done to her, she probably wanted nothing more to do with him. But she couldn't protest and insist on staying with Palti. She couldn't fight the decision these men made for her. Women just didn't have the opportunity or the encouragement to speak up against injustices done to them then. It was cruel to take her away from the man who wanted to keep her. What was it like for her to suddenly be not just the one wife of David, but one of seven wives? The tension and jealousy among them must have been tangible, terrible, and none of them could do anything about it. David was the king and they were his women. Their lot was to accept their lot and shut up. Michal, however, was not one to shut up. Sometime later, David managed to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. It had languished in Philistine captivity for years. Then it was in the house of Abinadab, and then it was in the house of Obed-Edom. David brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to Jerusalem with rejoicing. As the Ark moved through the city, David danced before the Lord with all his might, girded with only a linen ephod. Michal looked out the window and saw him leaping and dancing in the street, and she despised him in her heart. When he came home, she went out to meet him and said, her voice laced with sarcasm, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself. He acted like a commoner, not a king. He acted more like a buffoon than a ruler." Numerous commentators blast Michal for her sharp words. They say she was speaking out of jealousy and that she wasn't on the same page religiously as David was. Another commentator said David and Michal were unequally yoked, that he was more spiritual and she was more secular, that he cared more about the things of God than she did. They said she was insulting God when she insulted David. But if you listen carefully, you will hear the hurt and despair and longing in Michal's voice. She had done so much for David, and what had it all gotten her? Abandonment, betrayal. Then she had her happy rug with Palti pulled out from under her feet just because David wanted her back. She let him down through the window, and he let her down in return. Michal's resentment had been building up in her for a long time. Can you blame her? David was not a good man for women. Is a woman whose husband has other women obligated to him? Respect runs both ways. It's obvious David didn't want Michal for herself. He demanded her back because he was the king and he could do stuff like that, play with women's lives and emotions and disregard their feelings. Michal was crying out from her heart, crying out in grief and pain and loneliness and rejection and humiliation. David stung her back by retorting, "It was before the Lord that I danced, the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. I will continue to dance before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be humbled in my own eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." Ooh, David sure knew how to hit below the belt. He deliberately and painfully reminded Michal how her father Saul had started out in God's good graces, but through his own foolish actions fell out of favor with God, while David rose in God's eyes and the people's estimation. He just had to get that dig in, taunting her that God chose him over her father. Michal may have been a daddy's girl like Aksa, whose father gave her everything she wanted and needed. No daddy's girl wants to be reminded that her father is flawed and full of fault. She wants to put him and keep him on a pedestal, much as Michal wanted to put and keep David on a pedestal, while he refused to do the same thing for her. Once again, David abandoned her. The scripture says, after his scathing reply, David refused to have anything more to do with her, and she died childless, a great shame for a woman of that time and status. Michal at last lashed out from her deep frustration, her frustration at being a mere pawn in her father's scheming and David's disdain. She knew she deserved to be loved and cared for, not set aside and used and abused. Michael was the answer to David's prayer that he articulated in the psalm we heard earlier. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil, from the bloodthirsty. Save me. Did he expect Michael to be the one God would use to save him? She helped him escape through the window. She put that idol in the bed to thwart the men who came to capture and kill him. She stood up to her father for him, and now she stood alone, forsaken, forlorn. This isn't fair. David was the one who amassed other wives. David was the one who forced Michael to leave her other husband. David essentially imprisoned Michael for the rest of her life, fleeing out another window and leaving her husbandless, childless, hopeless. It's not strange how Michael's devotion turned to despising. I'm not so much bashing David as trying to find a more meaning for Michael. It's Women's History Month. We're remembering and celebrating women's achievements and women's bravery, and we're also remembering the forgotten sisters who sacrificed so much for others and have faded away into the shadows. Let's draw Michael out from the shadows and try to see her life from her perspective and give her some pity instead of deriding her as soulless and faithless. Let's make a covenant to rescue all disenfranchised women from the chains and prisons of life that limit their opportunities and dash their dreams. Michael was a rescuer. I wish I could let her know that another rescuer has come to answer not only David's prayer, but all her prayers as well. Prayers for redemption, prayers for restoration, prayers for dignity, prayers for acknowledgement, prayers for a hope for a good and prosperous future. As Michael was the answer to David's prayer, so Jesus is the answer to all our prayers and hers. It said David was a man after God's own heart, but I wish he'd tried harder to work for justice and righteousness and equality for all the people, especially the women in his kingdom. In God's kingdom, we are all remembered and celebrated. We are never abandoned, betrayed, or forsaken. So Michael has earned a place on our women's history list. And she's also earned her place in God's kingdom, where she and all of us will finally find the love and acceptance in the life we need. Michael's past will be history, but her future and ours will be awesome and unending. Let us pray. For all those sisters of ours who feel forsaken, abandoned, betrayed, belittled, and hopeless, oh God, we pray that they may find all the love and the perfect purpose they deserve. Help us to reach out to them with kindness and compassion so they can learn, as we have, that in Jesus Christ we have been accepted, we have been set free, and we will never be abandoned. And let them all dance before Jesus. Amen.
Mournfully surrounded.